The title of my message today, brethren, is Do You Fear God? Do you fear God? And as a young man, preteen, teenager, young adult, I didn't know what that meant. Had no clue what it meant, but also I didn't take time to find out what it meant. It wasn't until I was called into the church that I started understanding this. And I will tell you that growing up, if I was disobedient, or when I was disobedient, I should say, or when I was acting up, my granny would say, "Boy, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to beat the fear of God in you." And she would say, "You're running around here acting like a fool." And I knew Granny wasn't literally going to beat me. Or at least I didn't think she was. Now granted, there were times when I probably needed it, because I know that I was a handful at times. And we're told in the Bible, some versions say revere, some say fear your mother and father. That doesn't mean to be scared of them. Even though this does occur in our society today way too often. It's a shame that some children are literally afraid of their parents. It actually means to honor them and to respect them. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. And we'll begin reading in verse 3. It says, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and father and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God." It's about respect. You know, I wouldn't dare reply to my granny when she said that to me. I would just walk away saying, "What does that mean? She's going to beat the fear of God in me. What does that mean?" Because at that age, you're thinking, "Well, I know God loves me, and I don't want to be afraid of God." I just didn't get it. I didn't understand it at that time. But all Granny wanted was for me to be respectful and to know and to fear God and to use wisdom. That's it. That's it. If you recall the story of Solomon, the son of David, Solomon feared God. And he asked God to give him, of all things that he could have asked God to give him, he asked God to give him wisdom. Go to 2 Chronicles, if you will. 2 Chronicles 1. 2 Chronicles 1, and let's begin reading in verse 9. 2 Chronicles 1 and verse 9. "Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours?" Verse 11. "Then God said to Solomon, because this is in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king." And verse 12. "Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you." So Solomon was given the gift of knowledge and wisdom from God. That's what he asked for. And Solomon was said at one point in time to be the wisest man of all men. And if you know the story of Solomon, it continues on and it says that eventually he was overtaken by sin. Because he turned from God. He stopped fearing God. And my point today is, we have to be careful, because we can fall into that trap if we're not careful. There's no day off. We don't get a grace period from fearing God. It's 24/7. Solomon tells us in Proverbs, the path to knowledge and wisdom starts with the fear of God. This is where it all begins. And here's where we learn the results if we fear God. He tells us right here. Go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Proverbs 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the second part of that says, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. So verse 7, this is the pinnacle of the entire message. When you're wise, you can save yourself a ton of trouble. Because many things that you went through in the past could have been avoided if you used wisdom. And every one of us should be striving to learn to fear God. And we should ask God for wisdom just as Solomon did. Wisdom so we don't make the wrong choices in life. Wisdom so we don't trust the wrong people. Wisdom so that we don't fall in love with the wrong people. Wisdom, so we are able to say no when no is needed to be said. If not, the second part of verse 7 says that we can hang out with the fools, those who despise wisdom instructions, those who fear man instead of God. And what does God say about fools who fear man? Well, let's go over to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, and we'll read in verse 25. He says, the fear of man brings a snare. So what he's saying is that if you want to hang out with the fools and fear man, that's your choice. We can do that. But you will fall in a snare. That word snare means a trap. And you don't get to choose the results. Whatever happens, happens. Brethren, there's not a person in this room. There's not a person listening by cell phone. Not a person listening by the internet. Not one who at one time or another did not fear something or someone. It's how you handle fear that has a lot to do with how effective you will be in your life and in your relationship with God. How you handle fear can also affect other people around you. I mean, if you're shut down from God by the voice of sin, if you begin to listen to the critics of the world trying to encourage you to follow and fear man, then your relationship with God will be affected, and not in a good way. Let's take a look at the word fear. You know, I looked the word fear up in the dictionary, and man's definition of the word fear means to be afraid of someone or something as likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. The biblical definition of the word fear is to have reverence. to stand in awe, to respect. It's a Hebrew word meaning Yireh, spelled Y-I-R-A-H. Now, with that being said, you and I know that God gives us freedom to choose. We know this. We have that freedom to choose. And if we choose to fear man instead of fearing God, then we don't get to choose the results. Go with me to the book of Proverbs 1, and let's begin reading in verse 28. Proverbs 1 and verse 28. Proverbs 1 and verse 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Brethren, you get to choose how you will live your life. We all do. We have that freedom. But remember, if it doesn't include God, if you do not fear God, you don't get to choose the results. Let's continue reading in verse 33. It says, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. And continue in Proverbs 2 and verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God's results. If we fear God, it's either or. I mean, it's either or. It's, you can't do both. Brethren, when God uses the expression fear God, it's serious business. It's serious business. It's not a negotiation. It's still your choice. It's a very serious choice, I might add. But listen, we're not on the same level as God, although some fools think they are. God is not our buddy. He's not a potential client. He's not a potential customer. He shouldn't be referred to as the big man upstairs, as some people refer to him. My personal opinion, I think that's disrespectful to God. Listen, as a kid, if some of my buddies came over and asked if I could ride bikes, and I said, yeah, hold on a minute, let me check with the big woman inside, and she heard me, I think she literally would have beat the fear of God in me. God is greater than that and is to be respected. God is our Father. You know, in life, we can fear many things. We can have a fear of the future. We can fear failure. We can fear losing a job. We can fear people. We can have a fear of punishment. And many people, including Christians, are trapped by these fears. And there are studies out there that show the world has more phobias now than ever before. And of course, one of the reasons is the population of the world has exploded. And all of these phobias are increasing. But there's one phobia that is decreasing, brethren, and that is the fear of God. This fear is not only decreasing in the world, but it's also decreasing in the church. And yet the Bible commands that this is the only fear that we should have, and yet we take it lightly. You and I and our children are products of our homes. That's where we learn to fear God, or should learn to fear God. But like Solomon, we can fall in a trap and we can become complacent when it comes to our fear of God. Brethren, make no mistake about it. We who fear God, we are under attack. And therefore, we cannot lose our fear of God regardless of what's coming at us. We've seen our leaders, the movers and shakers of America, belittle, disrespect, and take God's name in vain and think nothing of it. Have you watched any of the elections? It's obvious that our nation has lost or is losing its fear of God. And it takes a catastrophe to hit us. And then everybody is sitting in church talking about God. Let me refresh a piece of recent history with you. September the 11th, 2001, we were attacked. America's stability was shattered. And statistics show that church attendance skyrocketed. A catastrophe. How did you react? I was shocked. I was scared. I was angry. And I think most Americans felt the same way. And I think that day we all feared man because we didn't know what hit us. The morning of 9/11/2001, Todd Morgan Beamer woke up as usual, probably had breakfast, kissed his family, and left for work. He had no idea of the challenge ahead of him. Todd was a passenger on board United Airlines Flight 93, which was hijacked by Al-Qaeda. And Todd and the other innocent people on board Flight 93, in just a matter of minutes after takeoff, their lives changed forever. To the point of no return. And in my research, I found out that Todd was a God-fearing man. He conducted Bible school or Sunday school. He was a faithful and courageous man. I don't know what his measure of loyalty to God was, but he definitely ran his own race. Todd's recorded last words were, "Men, are you ready? Let's roll." And that was the end of their lives. They crashed. Can you imagine going through this in your life? Pushed to the point of no return because some man wants you to fear him. I would hope not. Not without a healthy respect and fear of God. Because with that, you know that God has you in His hands. Regardless of what man does to you or to me, in this lifetime, with that healthy fear of God, you know that God has you in His hands. If you fear God. And my point is, brethren, we never know when there's going to be a subtle attack on us. I mean, we have various terrorist groups and gangs targeting us. Because we have an attitude of in your face. An attitude of I don't care. And we, Americans, have become a hated nation because of this attitude. And more importantly, we stopped fearing God. And the greatest concern that we must pay attention to is the fact that the fear of God, or losing the fear of God, it can happen. And it can and will affect God's people with this kind of attitude. And if we're not careful, we'll watch the world and its sin and its rebellion and its attitude that goes with it. And we'll say, well, if God don't punish them, it must be all right. So we allow what we watch to affect our relationship with God. Brethren, today there are forces in our society at work trying to make it difficult for the seed of the gospel to take root and grow in our lives. Trying to make it difficult for us to become God-fearing people. It's here. In our society today, anything goes. If you don't like it, just wait a few minutes. Someone will try to destroy you. That's where we are today. And those forces not only affect us from reaching out to those that are lost, but it also affects those in our very own families and in the church. Satan is always looking for ways to destroy the works of God. And sometimes his attacks are direct, but often they're subtle. So subtle that often we can't pinpoint when the change took place. That's dangerous. Or we don't know when we strayed from God's path. We just don't know. I'll give you another example. Let's use Abraham as an example. In the book of Genesis, Genesis 20, just after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, which was about Lot, another message, but Lot lived a life of compromise. But in Genesis 20, we see that Abraham was on the move. We'll also see that he had a fear problem. He feared man. He was traveling south through Kadesh and Shur, and eventually he moved on and decided to stay in Gerar. And we'll also read that Abraham did not believe that anyone in Gerar were God-fearing citizens. That's what he concluded in his mind. And so he tells his wife Sarah, when we go into this town, he said, because you are a beautiful woman, the king may want you for himself. Now keep in mind, Sarah was up in age, 90 years or so. And so she had to be gorgeous for the king to want her, I assume. So Abraham said, if he does, he said, tell him you're my sister. Now right here we see that Abraham, it was a lie. So his respect and fear of God went out the window right there. Because he feared for his life. He feared man. The problem with this is Abraham was telling half truth and half lie. It was a very sick truth, but it was half truth. Sarah was his wife and she was his sister. They had the same father but different mothers. And God was very patient with Abraham. Keep in mind, Abraham was a prophet and God wasn't finished with him. But you see how easy it is just to go with the flow and forget about God. You know, brethren, there are times in our lives when we get going with the flow and we run out of patience with God for whatever reason, and yet God is always patient with us. Always. Abraham was overtaken by fear of the king, a man. So he decided to give the king his wife, his sister, as his sister. And he said, here you go. He said, take her. Just like that. Let's continue reading in Genesis 20. Or begin reading in Genesis 20. Genesis 20 and verse 1, we'll pick up the story in verse 1. And Abraham journeyed there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." Now, let's think about this for a minute. Some of you may be saying, "I know this type of thing is going on all over the world," and it is. And God is not killing those folks, and that may be true. But brethren, we know that God's judgment is slow. We know that God's judgment is based on the truth. We know that God's patience is very real, and God wants those people to turn from their sins. We have to be in absolute awe with God's patience in this situation. And especially in America right now, and in this world, we have to be amazed that God keeps giving us chance after chance after chance to repent for our sins and to fear Him, and yet we don't give it a second thought. Sometimes I wonder if we're going to make it to another day in this world with all of the things that are going on. We have military men and women today being threatened with court-martial if they publicly tell that they are men and women of faith. Now, hold on a minute. Let me make sure I got this correct. You want me to serve on the front line of battle if needed, to save you and what you believe in, but I can't share my faith in what I believe, but I am to protect you. Brethren, we're in a mess in this country. We are in a mess. And God's people are the only hope for survival in America. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Let's continue on in Genesis 20 with the story of Abraham and Sarah and Abimelech. Genesis 20 and verse 4. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart and innocent of my hands, I have done this." And God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her." And verse 7. "Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours." And verse 8. So Abimelech rose early that morning, called all of his servants and told these things in their hearing. And the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not be done." Then Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view?" He said, "What did you see that you have done this thing?" And here it is in verse 11. And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife." Abraham was saying, I thought I was in a godless place. So I thought I could become godless, behave godless. I didn't think anyone here were God-fearing people. So I didn't want to become a God-fearing man. And right there, brethren, you see how it works. Abraham's actions show that no honesty can be hoped for where there is no fear of God. And you see how other people's sinful actions and non-caring ways can subtly overtake us if we're not fully focused on fearing God. God help us today to be God-fearing people in a godless society. And it doesn't matter how bad or how rotten or how wicked this country becomes. As God's children, it is imperative that we fear God regardless. It's going to get bad. Let me share a little nugget with you. As God's children, we don't get a hall pass to get away with things that the children of this world get away with. We just don't. And we never will. We cannot become influenced by the world or by what we see on television or any other media device. These influences make life appear to be just one big party. I mean, look how wicked society is today. It attacks us subtly to the point that you begin to think and I begin to think, well, surely it won't matter if I do a little of this or if I do a little of that. Brethren, the fear of God, it is a choice. It is a choice. God has given every one of us the freedom to choose. You can choose if you will walk in fear of God or if you will fear man. When we have this freedom, that means we have to choose. And in America, we hunger for freedom. So we choose to pay the price of life or death through war. And I think we're all thankful for that. For the service of all those men and women who are serving this country, who have fought for this country and died. I think we're all thankful for that. Millions and millions of people who have lost their lives. I think we're thankful for that. So that we can enjoy this freedom. So that we can have the freedom to choose. Some made a choice to fight, and some were forced to fight, but they paid a price. And they didn't get to choose the results. We live in a nation that's angry. And it's not angry at freedom. It's angry at the results of that freedom. Listen, if you live the lifestyle of drug abuse, alcoholism, and now you're suffering with health issues from it, remember, you got to choose how you live, but you don't get to choose the results. Brethren, God loves us. And that love is behind the laws and commands that He has set in place for us. And one of the first things we learn when we begin to understand God is that He hates sin. And those who choose to practice it in defiance of His law will die. In closing, what does it mean to fear God? Does it mean that we are to run and hide and tremble at the very sight or mention of His name? No. So what does it mean? It means to have reverence for God. It means you are to stand in absolute awe of God. It means to put God in His rightful place, which is in charge of your life. It means to take God seriously. It means to recognize God for who He is. And yes, you and I should tremble at the very thought of how awesome God is. Because our God is an awesome God. God does not want us to be in continual terror of Him, although that may be where some of us start in our relationship with Him. But it is not His desire to frighten us. Unfortunately, as God's children in this world, we have enemies that the Bible speaks about. And we're at war with all three of them. Enemy number one is the world system. It's feeding us at a record pace, and it's eating us alive. And enemy number two is our fleshly nature. We've taken God out of the picture, and we've replaced Him with man. And enemy number three, and of course the big one, who is out to destroy you, your family, and your home, and that is Satan. And brethren, like never before in the history of America, our families are under attack. God is under attack. I mean, look around. Our families are splintering. The divorce rate is at 50%. Our kids are running away from home, and God is being mocked. We've got so consumed in the ways, in the world system, that we get a little knowledge or success, and we begin to think the grass is greener on the other side. And it just keeps pulling us and pulling us in until eventually we stop fearing God. And that's the subtle attack that we all have the potential to fall prey to. And there may be some folks here today. You know who you are. And you have fallen prey to the ways of this world. And you're here today because you're heavily laden and burdened with the trials and the stresses of this world, and you just need a break. And if that's you, if that's me, the solution is fear God. God is the greatest help you'll ever get, but you must reverence Him and honor Him. I have 3 points for you to take away from this message on the proper fear of God. And I found this information in some UCG material. Point number one is you have to have a healthy reverence and respect for the most powerful being in the universe, God. And point number two is you have to respect the laws He set in place for our own benefit. And point number three is we should fear God and keep His commandments because He is love. Brethren, the fear of God, it's a gift. It's the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Do you fear God?